Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Pelo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWineMaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Delvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
It is. Yeah, wonderful. It's
not 123.
Mm-hmm. And that's the base temperature. Nice. Then you have humidity and everything with the heat index. It's higher. So yeah, very good.
It's yeah, the heat index. That's
it's a but high form.
Not the heat, it's humidity.
Sure.
It's a dry heat.
Oh, no.
Always like those. Yeah.
I know you have some topics to discuss of interest, and we also have an event, I believe, this weekend. I can hear myself echoing on your headphones, I think, on your phone.
Yeah, well,
am I on speakerphone?
No. Let me turn down that better.
Anyway. Hello? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can. Okay, it was just weird. I was talking, and I go, wow, there's like a half-second delay, okay. I was on...
I adjusted the phone a little bit. I'm calling on the landline tonight because I'm having connection issues with Skype and BTR, so... And yeah. I was adjusting the volume a little bit while the intro was on, and that's probably why.
We were on... I was here for half a show a couple of Thursdays ago, when you had Lisa with Simple Sojourner on there. And I was on the website, and I'm sure you noticed this, but she has a write-up about Florida State's winery in Florida. And it's a really nice article about her visit there, and she has some pictures on there that are very good. So if people want to see that and see what it's what's out there and read her review and her visit to Florida State's winery, go to simplesojourner.com and click on, scroll down a little bit. She keeps it pretty active. There's quite a bit in there. You'll see Florida State's winery down there in Florida. And she's got some good pictures and some good information there. And she also mentions the show here, All About Wine. So that was kind of cool. So check it out, simplesojourner.com. A good blog, good write-ups, and thank you for the mention of the show. And I'm sure we also appreciate the mention of your visit at Florida State's winery. It's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, I saw that. That is a nice little write-up. Thank you, Lisa, for that, too. I was going to mention something last week, and I forgot about it this week because of the – oh, yeah. We had we weren't on last week. Had all my communication devices, TV and computer and phone, everything was down last week. Not to mention the company, but Frontier, you suck. Frontier bought out Florida, Texas, and California, three enormous markets from Verizon. And they're having problems in all of them. I mean, you would think if you buy out somebody, it would result in, instead of putting the name Verizon, you take that name down and you put the name Frontier up there, and everything stays the same.
Right.
But it didn't. And I don't understand that. I mean, just because,
Yeah.
I won't rant about that because... I'll get my blood pressure up. But, Frontier is got issues they need to address.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we get into our basic topic tonight, and we're going to talk about cognac and brandy, that's going to be it. I saw something I want to share with you. And this isn't, this is just FYI more than anything else. It's going to affect wineries and small wineries all over the country. And like I've talked before, it's like 90% of all wineries in this country are small wineries. But this is something I saw. This is the TTB announcement, Trade and Tobacco Bureau announcement, Tax Trade and Tobacco. This is actually Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. So Tax and Trade Bureau. On December 18, 2015, the president signed into law the Protecting Americans from Tax Hikes Act of 2015. It is the PATH Act, as Protecting Americans from Tax Hikes, which is Division Q of the Consolidated Appropriations Act 2016. The PATH Act contains changes to certain statutory provisions that TTB administrators in the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 regarding excise tax due dates, bond requirements, and the definition of wine eligible for the hard cider tax rate. And then they give the statutes here what all they are, which, who cares? You can look them up if you want. But it says, please note that these amendments do not take effect until 2017. Section 332 of the PATH Act changes the excise tax due dates and eliminates bond requirements for certain eligible taxpayers. Now, that's a big thing there. You don't think, we have to pay. We're bonded wineries. All wineries in the United States are bonded wineries. We have to have our bond through the TTB. Now, if they eliminate certain bonds, it's going to save money for the wineries, which, most bonds are $100, $200 a year, depending on what you get. But this is going to limit it. It says, beginning with the calendar quarter that starts January 1st, 2017, eligible taxpayers who reasonably expect to be liable for not more than $1,000 in taxes imposed with respect to distilled spirits, wines, and beer for the calendar year, and who were liable for not more than $1,000 in such taxes in the preceding calendar year, can pay those taxes annually rather than quarterly. Yay, I will probably fall in that category. Although, they have provisions you can pay quarterly and semi-annually and annually already. So I don't see how that's going to be such a big deal. I mean, if, they've... Excuse me. They don't let you pay monthly. You can pay every 2 weeks or every quarter or every 6 months or every year, but that's going to affect it there. And then also another point, beginning with the calendar quarter that starts on January 1st, 2017, those taxpayers are eligible for annual filing under the conditions set forth above, as well as those taxpayers are eligible for quarterly filing under current law, are exempt from the requirement to file a bond covering operations or withdrawals of distilled spirits or wines for non-industrial use or beer. So that's going to definitely create a different aspect for wineries and for stuff like that, for distilled spirits and all. And everybody's so small. This is really something that they haven't let us know on, through any other means yet. I haven't been notified by anyone else. I just happened to run across this on an email. Hard cider will still be taxed by increasing the allowable alcohol from less than 7% to less than 8.5%. So you may be seeing some increases in alcohol content of hard ciders, because if it's the same tax, why not jump the percentage of alcohol up with it? And it says TTBN is the process of identifying and updating regulations, forms, and all that other good stuff. So, you know, just FYI, just to share with you, it's going to affect a lot of businesses, a lot of wineries and a lot of distilleries and breweries around the country. This is going to make a big difference in what they're paying and stuff like that. I don't think you'll see a difference in your cost of your bottles to these places. It'll just be a matter of that they won't have to spend a little extra money, but it's something that's pretty big. It's something that's pretty big that hasn't been done. I mean, how often does the government reduce costs for us as opposed to raising costs for us? So that's I think something that's interesting there. So moving on, we are going to talk about brandy and cognac. Brandy is brandywine. It's actually the original word. It's derived from the Dutch word brandewijn, or burned wine. It's actually the true translation of it. It's produced by distilling wine or distilling grapes. Generally, it contains like 35 to 60% alcohol, or 70, 120 proof. Most of the brandy you get aren't quite up to 35%. They're a little bit smaller ones you buy domestically. And it's an after-dinner drink. Brandies are actually aged in wooden casks, and some are actually colored with caramel coloring, which is legal. Some are a combination of being aged in wooden cask and adding some color. Brandy, in reality, it can mean a lot of stuff. Distillation of pomace or mash or wine or any other fruits. The fruit brandies, you see those all over the place. Brandies are found throughout the world. The most renowned are in Cognac and Armagnac from southwestern France, and I'll talk about those in a little bit here. The origins of brandy are really going back to distillation. Initially, wine was distilled as a preservation technique and easier for merchants to transport it, because wine itself, as you were transporting it, tend to go bad. And it's also thought that wine was originally distilled to lessen the tax, which was assessed by volume. Again, we're just talking about tax down in TTB. The intent was to add water removed by distillation back to the brandy shortly before consumption. So you would make the brandy and you would add water to it, which would more wine-like, I guess you can say. They were storing it in wooden casks as they were traveling it, which actually brought up the original distilled spirits. In addition to removing the water, the distilled process led to formation and decomposition of numerous aromatic compounds, as it states on this paper here. which actually altered the composition of it. The substances such as pigments, sugars, salts, and all that remained, and as a result, it was quite unlike the original source, the original brandy that you got. You changed the original wine that was being used. So they started to play around with the the shortened distillations, which actually was quite long and troublesome. A chemical instrument was invented to reduce them to a single distillation to test the purity of the spirit of the wine. A portion was ignited if the entire contents were consumed by fire without leaving any impurities behind. Then the liquor was good. Obviously, they didn't light the whole barrel. They took a sample out. Better tests involved putting a little gunpowder into the bottom of the spirit. If the gunpowder could ignite after the spirit was consumed by fire, then the liquor was good. So different ways that they used to test that stuff. We don't do that anymore, by the way. Most brandies have been distilled from grapes. Certain regions are, you know, dominated on it. The French and Spanish brandies in Eastern Europe were dominated by brandies from the Black Sea region. Bulgaria, the Crimea, Georgia, all those have had their classic brandies coming out. Certain areas called cognacs became very popular again. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Throughout the Soviet era, production of brandy was a source of pride for the communist regime. They continue to produce some excellent varieties now. The famous ones are Jubilee brandies, Great Years, 67, 77, 87. A lot of these bottles are actually sought after. It's one of the big things out there on the brandy drinkers, looking for the Jubilee brandies from Russia. Brandies production and consumption tend to have regional characters, just like wine and everything. Brandy is made from so-called base wine, which significantly differs from regular table wine. It is made from early grapes in order to achieve higher acid concentration and lower sugars. So that's one of the things about brandy. Base wine generally contains smaller amounts of sulfur than regular wine, as it creates undesired copper sulfite in reaction with copper in this pot still. So you want a small amount of sulfur to not get that copper sulfite reaction. The yeast sediment produced during the fermentation may or may not be kept in the wine depending on the brandy style. So some have yeast, some don't. Brandy is distilled from the base wine in two phases. In the first, a large part of the water solids is removed from the base, obtaining a so-called low wine. It's basically a concentrated wine with 28 to 30% alcohol by volume. Second stage, low wine is distilled into brandy, just like you would distill vodka or whiskey or anything else. The liquid exits the pot still in three phases, referred to as the heads, hearts, and tails. The first part, the head, has alcohol concentration of about 83%, or 166 proof, and a very unpleasant odor. The weak portion of the at the end, the tail, is discarded along with the head, and they are generally mixed with another batch of low wine, therefore, you know, creating the whole process again, making it an ongoing cycle. The middle, or heart, is the richest in aromas and flavors, and that is the one that is preserved for a maturation. Distillation does not simply enhance the alcohol content of wine. The heat under which the product is distilled and the material of the still, again, it's usually copper, cause chemical reactions to take place during distillation. This leads to the formation of numerous new volatile aroma compounds, which changes in relative amounts of aroma and the compounds of the wine, such as esters. Brandy is usually produced in pot stills, but the column still can also be used for continuous distillation. skillet obtained in this manner has a higher alcohol concentration, approximately 90% alcohol by volume, but it is less aromatic and a different type of brandy. Choice of the apparatus depends on the style of brandy produced. Cognac and South African brandies are examples of brandies produced in batches, while American brandies are fractional distillation in columns. You can age brandies. Use our after distillation is usually aged in oak barrels. There's lots of different methods to age in brandy. Some brandies, especially those from Spain, are using the Solera method, which after they set it outside and let it distill outside, what they will do is they'll stack up barrels very tall, very high, and let the sun beat down on them. The bottom barrels is where they pull out the brandy that is being bottled, and then they take the brandy from the barrel above that and feed it into the bottom barrel and let it continue aging. Then the one above the second one, feed into the second one, and one above the third, feed into the third, all the way down. So these are not vintaged, but they are all added together over years, and it gives you some brandies are mature and distilled in water to reduce alcohol concentrations when they bottle it, too. Some brandies have caramel coloring and sugar added. This also simulates the appearance of a barrel aging. Serving brandy is traditionally served at room temperature, referred to as neat, with a sniffer, a wine glass or a tulip glass. It's said that when drunk at room temperature, it's often slightly warm by holding the glass cupped in the palm of the hand or by gently heating it. I have had brandy that was heated, and I've had it that was held in the palm of my hand. And the one that was heated was much better, but I think it might have been a better brandy. I can't recall at the moment. So either way will work for you. Excessive heating of brandy may cause alcohol vapors to become strong, causing the aroma to become overpowering, which you really can tell the difference in that. Brandy drinkers who like brandy warm ask for a glass to be heated before the brandy is poured. Brandy is used in a lot of cocktails, too. This is something that is becoming popular. It's very popular for a number of years, brandy and cognac being used in cocktails. And then it died away. It was stopped. But we've all heard of a brandy sour, the brandy Alexander. The sidecar is also made with brandy. Brandy Daisy, brandy Old Fashioned. All these are different cocktails that are made with brandy. It's also can be used for cooking. It's used for flambé dishes, crepe Suzette, and cherry jubilee. It lights, it ignites, it burns. It's also used on Christmas pudding instead of fire. So these are different things that brandies can be used. There's brandy butter and all this other stuff that you can do. So brandy is, grape pomace brandy may be designated as grappa or grappa brandy. All right. Now, if you're familiar with grappa, very high alcohol content. Actually, a local winery was making grappa for a while and did a very nice job of it. He's since closed down, but he had a real nice grappa. A lot of the brandies in the United States are made with other than grapes. They're made with different fruits. You got peach brandy, fruit brandy, dried fruit, pomace brandy, all sorts of different things. If you notice a label on a brandy bottle that says immature, it's labeled immature. That simply means that it has not been aged in oak for at least 2 years. So there's just something else to make a note of. Alcohol beverages imported to the EU from the United States or other EU states can be sold within European Union using labels that refer to them as fruit brandy
or Plumas brandy, but such a label cannot be used in EU for products produced in an EU member state. So, speaking of EU, Mike, have you heard, did Britain vote to exit or stay?
I have not heard.
Yeah, I don't know. I just said this here and it just dawned on me. I haven't heard either. Oh, well, okay. Canada regulations regarding naming of brandies are similar to that of the United States. Minimum aging period is 6 months in wood, although not necessarily oak. Caramel, fruit, and other botanical substances, flavorings, and flavoring preparations may also be included in a product called brandy. For Canadian brandy. So there you go on brandies. That's the basic information on brandy. But brandy is also cognac. Now, not all brandies are cognac, but all cognacs are brandy. And the reason for that is that the area of cognac in France, and it gave the pronunciation cognac, named after the town Cognac in France, is a variety of brandy. It is produced in the wine-growing regions surrounding the town, and it takes its name from the French department of Charente. They don't know yet? Okay, my engineer just looked up trying to find out what the word is on the EU and Britain, but
yeah.
No final yet.
No.
You checked it out, too. I knew you would. You're always good about that. Charente is the area of where they make cognac, which is brandy. That's located, actually, I can give you the location of Charente, France. It's 45 degrees by 50 minutes north by 20 degrees east. It's in the southeast part of France. And they call it department, I believe. The department. They don't call them states or counties or anything. Or they call them departments. So it's in the east-southeast department area. Or the number of departments in this area is 16. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I'm reading something else here, and I just saw something else that was. But cognac is made in this area here. Now, for brandy to bear the name cognac, an appellation d'origine et contrôlée. Its production methods must meet certain legal requirements, as is almost everything in France when they do this stuff. In particular, it must be made from specific grapes, of which Ugni Blanc, I believe it's pronounced U-G-N-I, Ugni Blanc. Let me see if this has anything about the Ugni to begin with, see if it pronounces it. I guess France calls it Ugni Blanc because it is referred to as a Trebbiano grape in other places. So the Ugni Blanc in France is actually the Trebbiano grape when you go to Italy and other areas of France and all that. So, why do they change names like that? I have no idea. Must be made by young which is one of the most widely known. Brandy must be twice distilled in copper pot stills and aged at least 2 years in French oak barrels from Limousin or Trencoy. I guess it's specific on the oak, too. Cognac matures in the same way as whiskeys and wine when aged in barrels, and most cognacs are aged considerably longer than the minimum legal requirements. The regions of authorized to produce cognac is divided into six zones, including five crews broadly covering the Department of Charente Maritime. The six zones are Grand Champagne, Petite Champagne, Borderies, Fins Bois, Bon Bois, and finally Bois Ordinaire. A blend of Grand and Petite Champagne cognacs, with at least half coming from Grand Champagne, is known as Fine Champagne. Well, that can be confusing, I guess, can't it? Cognac producing regions should not be confused with the northeastern region of Champagne, which is a sparkling wine. So there's both of them are being from the French term for chalky soil etymology. So that's from chalky soil, so hence the name Champagne being used in both. But that's what I said, it can be confusing. Cognac is a type of brandy, and after the distillation and processing during the aging process, it is called UDV. It is produced by doubly distilling white wines produced in any of the designated regions, growing regions. The grapes. Now, here we go. This is important in France. The white wine used in making cognac is very dry, acidic, and thin. It has been characterized as virtually undrinkable in the past. The white wine is excellent for distillation and aging. It may only be made from a strict list of grape varieties. In order for it to be considered a true cru, the wine must be made from at least 90% Ungling Blanc or Trebbiano, Folie Blanche or Colombard, while up to 10% of the grapes used can be Folinan, Jurcon Blanc, and Maisler Saint François, also called Blanc Rémé. Select Montils or Semillon, and I've heard of maybe two of those, and that's been it. They must not be widely used, or they are very acidic, dry, and thin. Cognacs which are not to carry the name of cru are freer in the allowed grape varieties, needing at least 90% Colombard, Folie Blanche, Jurcon Blanc, Maisler Saint François, Montils, Semillon, or Ungling Blanc, and up to 10% would be the Folinan or Select, which I'm not going to look up all those grapes and tell you about them because, well, I don't feel like it. Fermentation and distillation of cognac. Now, it starts changing a little bit here. After the grapes are pressed, the juice is left to ferment for 2 to 3 weeks with the region's native wild yeast converting the sugar into alcohol. Neither sugar nor sulfur may be added. Okay, at this point, the resulting wine is about 7 to 8% alcohol by volume. Then distillation takes place in traditionally shaped copper stills, also known as an alembic. Let me check and see what this says. An alembic is one of those things that looks like a bird with its beak sticking down. An alembic is that container with a glass or a pot or something with a thing pointing down. So that's an alembic, and let's see if it tells me how to pronounce it correctly here. Alembic. Yeah, I guess alembic is correct. It is the design and dimensions of which are generally, which are also legally controlled. Boy, they control all that there. Two distillations must be carried out, and the resulting spirit is colorless and about 70% alcohol. Okay, now we go to aging of cognacs. Once the distillation is complete, it must be aged in limousine oak cask for at least 2 years before it can be sold to the public. If it's typically put in a cask and alcohol by volume strength of about 70%. And that's, you know, 140 proof, if you want to look at it that way. As the cognac interacts with the oak barrel in the air, it evaporates at a rate of about 3% per year, slowly losing both alcohol and water. The angel share, I've heard that referred to as, too, when that evaporation process is the angel's share. Because the alcohol dissipates faster than the water, the alcohol concentration drops about 40% over time. The cognac is then transferred to large glass carboys called bonbons for then stored for future blending. Since oak barrels stop contributing to flavor after 4 or 5 decades, longer aging periods may not be beneficial. That's 40 or 50 years there now. Blending. When you start blending, the age of a cognac is calculated as that of the youngest component used in the blend. Now, the blend is usually of different ages and from different local areas. The blending or marriage, it is referred to as, of different cognacs is important to obtain a complexity of flavors absent from a single distillery or vineyard. Each cognac house has a master taster, maitre de chai, C-H-A-I, maitre de chai, who is responsible for blending the spirits so that cognac produced by a company will have a consistent house style and quality. In this respect, it is similar to the process of blending whiskeys and non-vintage champagnes to achieve a consistent brand flavor, consistent quality. Small numbers of producers do not blend their final product from different ages and therefore produce a pure flavor equivalent to single malt scotch, if you will. That's not the production style of a single malt scotch, not blending or anything. Hundreds of vineyards in the cognac AOC region sell their own cognac. These are likewise blended from different years, but they are single vineyard cognacs, varying slightly from year to year and according to the taste of the producer. Therefore, they're lacking some of the predictability of the better-known commercial products. But that would be fun, wouldn't it, having all those different ones? Depending on their success in marketing, small producers may sell a larger or smaller portion of their product to individuals, individual buyers, wine dealers, bars, restaurants, and then the remainder being sold to the larger cognac houses for blending. The success of these artisanal cognacs have encouraged some larger industrial scale producers to produce single vineyard cognacs just so they can have their single vineyard cognacs available. Engineer? So, I had to have her check on something. So they have a lizard in the house. That's what they were chasing. Cognacs are graded. They are graded by different things and what they are. Now, if you purchased a cognac, you have probably seen these letters on it before if you walk by the shelves of it. According to the Bureau National Interprofessionnel du Cognac, BINC, the quality grades of cognac are as follows. VS, very special, or 3 stars. You may see a 3-star cognac or very VS. This designates a blend of which the youngest brandy has been stored for at least 2 years in oak cask. That's your cheaper one there, actually. That's the one that you can pick up, fairly inexpensive. VSOP, very superior old pale, is what that stands for, or reserve, it's also marked. VSOP, or reserve, designates a blend in which the youngest brandy is stored for at least 4 years in a cask. XO, or extra old, or Napoleon. XO or Napoleon, same thing. Designates a blend in which the youngest brandy is stored for at least 6 years. And in 2016, the minimum storage age of the youngest brandy used in an XO blend will be set at 10 years. So this year it is moving up to 10 years for the XO. That's a good brandy, or cognac, rather. I've had XO or Napoleon cognacs. Very, very good. Some of them can be very expensive, too, but I've had some of them. They are very good. And Hors d'Age, H-O-R-S, D apostrophe A-G-E, Hors d'Age, which means beyond age, is a designation which the BNIC states is equal to XO, but the term in which by producers, in practice, the term in which the producers market a high-quality product beyond the official age scale. So XO or Napoleon is aged for 10 years starting this year. The beyond age is a longer aging process. Names and grades are in English because the historical cognac trade, particularly in the 18th century, involved the British. You know, they've spread ports and cognacs and all this stuff around the world. The crew, the tightly defined crew or geographic markings where the grapes are grown. I told you the ones earlier, Grand Champagne, Petite. It's distinctive because of the soils and the microclimates and, terroir, the French using the word terroir, not so specific for larger regions. It's not typical of a larger region. These are distinct areas. And can also be used to classify the cognac, too. It's not just for the growing regions, but it can be classifying the cognac. These factors can produce a cognac with characteristics particular to their own specific locations. Grand Champagne. This consists of 13,766 hectares or 34,020 acres. Grand Champagne Eau-de-Vie, I believe I pronounced that wrong, are long in the mouth and powerful, dominated by floral notes. Champagnes derived from the Roman Champagna, meaning the southern region of Italy, considered the countryside of Rome, but is also explained with similarity in soil with the Champagne area at Reims. Now, who explains this, I don't know, but it is also referred to that. The soils of Grand Champagne and Petite Champagne are considered as shallow clay limestone over limestone and chalk, which, you know, makes the grapes work, but probably gives you good results, and a lot with the limestone, very acidic, like they said earlier. Petite Champagne, 16,171 hectares or 39,160 acres. Petite Champagne Eau-de-Vie have similar characteristics to those from the Grand Champagne, but are in general shorter on the palate. Cognacs made from a mixture of Grand Champagne and Petite Champagne, with at least 50% Grand Champagne, being marketed as fine champagne. Borderies, B-O-R-D-E-R-I-E-S, Borderies, 4,160 hectares, 10,300 acres. The smallest crew is from the Borderies are the most distinctive, with nutty aromas and flavor, as well as distinct violet or iris characteristic. This domination of soil is clay and flintstone, which results from decomposition of limestone. Fins Bois, F-I-N-S-B-O-I-S, Fins Bois, 34,265 hectares or 84,670 acres. Heavier and faster aging, these are ideal for establishing the base of some of the blended cognacs. Fins Bois is rounded and fruity with an oiliness. The soils here are predominantly red clay limestone and very stony, heavy clay soils. Bonds Boy, B-O-N-S-B-O-I-S, or Boy Ordinaires, and Boys Ordinaire, together is 19,979 hectares or 49,370 acres. Further out from the four central growth areas are these two growing regions. Poor soil, influenced a lot by the maritime climate. They are north and west of the main growing regions. This area of 20,000 hectares produces a cognac that is less demonstrative and ages more quickly, and probably much cheaper, too, if you want to try a true cognac. And then the last one, Bois et Terroirs, B-O-I-S-A-T-E-R-R-I-O-I-R-S, Terroir. That's last one, no information on that. Most areas, the soils of all the three last ones are sandy coastal areas and some valleys. That's, again, influenced from the coast. Cognac companies. This is some of these you've heard. There are over 200 cognac producers, a large percentage of them, more than 90% for the U.S. market. Wow. I guess Britain is not drinking as much cognac anymore. According to one estimate, 90% for the U.S. market, according to one estimate, comes from only four of the producers. Cuvassier, and we've all heard of that, I'm sure, owned by Beam Suntory. Hennessy, owned by LVMH. Let me back up and check Beam Suntory. Beam Suntory does a lot of distilled spirits, and worldwide distribution, an enormously large company. They make bourbon, rye, Jim Beam, Maker's Mark, part of theirs. They also do Kessler, Scotch, Irish whiskey, Canadian whiskey, Japanese whiskey, tequila, cognac, obviously, vodka, rum, gin, liqueur. Beam Suntory is an enormous company in spirits. Cuvassier is their main. Hennessy is owned by LVMH. LVMH is Moët Hennessy Louis Vuitton. It's a French multinational company, also very big in all sorts of wines and spirits, and they also do leather goods and specialist retailing stuff. They do cruise ship services and perfumes and cosmetics, watches, jewelry, Bulgari watches, fashion and leather goods. And one of the things that they are into, obviously, is cognac. Martell, that's another one we've all probably heard of. Martell is owned by Pernod Ricard, and they also are quite a large company. They are big into wine. Pernod Ricard is more wine than anything. They have just wineries throughout the world, and they also do other things, vodkas and scotches and everything. From all over the world. So all these companies that are doing this seem to have another one. And then the last one, Remy Martin, owned by Remy Cointreau. Again, another enormous company that has Piper Heidsieck Champagne, Mount Gay Rum, Metaxa Brandy, all these things that you probably heard. This Remy Cointreau is the head company of that. So these all make the brandies. Other companies include, there's maybe another dozen or so on here. I'm not going to read them because I will destroy the names. So I'm not going to do that. Mixed drinks, cognacs, just like brandies, are making a recovery as a mixer for drinks. You instead of using brandies, you can do cognacs. Grand Marnier, made from cognac and distilled essence of bitter orange. Pinot de Chérance, which is a sweet aperitif composed of cognac and grape must. Domaine de Canton, cognac-based ginger liquor. Dutch brandy, which is sometimes referred to as Dutch cognac, usually containing a little bit of cognac. And Chambard, made from cognac infused with black and red raspberries and Madagascar vanilla. How many of you knew that before I just told you that? That's Chambard liquor. These are all made with base cognacs. Also, in the cognac, or in the brandy region, is in the cognac region, is the Armagnac. Armagnac is produced in the Armagnac region of Gascony, which is in the southwest of France. It's a blend of grapes, usually including Baco 22A, Colombard, French Blanc, and Ungui Blanc. It is made pretty much the same way as cognac is. It has its same rules and regulations. It is one of the oldest, Armagnac is the oldest brandy distilled in France, and it was used for therapeutic purposes for many years by cardinals who claimed it had 40 virtues. It can make redness and burning of the eyes disappear. It can stop you from tearing. That just seems funny. You throw a cognac down and you're going to tear at times. It could cure hepatitis, sober consumption adhering, cure gout, cankers, fistula by ingestion, restores the paralyzed member by massage, and heals wounds of the skin by application. Now, you can have a wound on the skin and put Armagnac brandy on there, and that's going to heal it after it bubbles and burns and all that. Excuse me. It enlivens the spirit and recalls the past memories, makes men joyous, preserves use, and retards senility. And when retained in the mouth, it loosens the tongue and emboldens the wit. I just laughed on that, yes. Between the 15th and 17th century, Armagnac was traded on the markets, and subsequently the Dutch merchants began promoting the trade more widely. The region of Armagnac is contains 15,000 hectares or 37,000 acres of wine grape-producing wines, and it falls into three distinct categories: the Bas Armagnac, B-A-S Armagnac, the Armagnac Tenasserie, and the Haut Armagnac. And each of these is controlled by separate appellation regulations. The most recent one, Blanche Armagnac, was just established not very many years ago. Production is basically the same. Grapes being used, 10 different varieties, but the basic the four that are used most common more than anything is the Baco 22A, the Colombard, the Foil Blanche, and the Ungui Blanc, or the Carabinino. It's sold under several classifications, most referring to the age that it is. It's allowed to be sold under vintages also. When Armagnacs are of different ages have been blended, the age of the bottle refers to the youngest component. A three-star or VS Armagnac is a mix of several Armagnacs that have been at least 2 years of aging, VSOP at least three, XO at least six. And then the youngest one, the hors d'oeuvre means the youngest component in the blend has to be at least 10. So Cognac is changing that a little bit there in their region. And single year is being noted on the bottle. So that's all brandy. All brandy areas, all brandy. Not all brandy is Cognac, but all Cognac is brandy. Same thing with not all brandy is Armagnac, but all Armagnac is brandy. It's just a simple rules to follow there. Let's see, where is small batch American brandies, Christian Brothers, XO Rare. That is made in the San Joaquin Valley. XO Rare Reserve is distilled using Thompson seedless grapes because of their high acidity, flavor, and low alcohol output. Prior to blending, the brandies are aged in American white bourbon barrels for 4 to 6 years. That's the Christian Brothers XO Rare brandy. Germaine Robin. Germaine Robin, perched atop the category, is Germaine Robin of Ukiah, California. They handcraft its brandies in 19th century copper alembic steels and age them in limousine oak barrels, much like Cognac I just read there. Among their highly acclaimed offering is Germaine Robin Anno Domini, a brandy distilled entirely from California Pinot Noir and priced at about $350. Jepson Vineyards, also located in Ukiah. Jepson Vineyards' range of brandies are double distilled entirely from French Colombard grapes, and they're also late aged in limousine oak. The line includes Jepson Old Stock with an average age of 10 years and the 15-year signature reserve. Laird's Rare Apple Brandy, crafted at the country's oldest distillery. The brandy is double distilled in small batches and aged in American white oak for a minimum of 12 years. So these are brandies that you can get here. Biggest brandy seller in the United States? E.J. Gallo. E.J. Gallo Winery sells the highest. The next is Hennessy from Moët Hennessy. Paul Masson, Constellation Wines, puts that out. Christian Brothers is next. Remy Martin. Cavassier is down on the list. I see 3-6th on the list. Corbel is next, followed by Raymal, Martel, and Presidente. So those are the top-selling brandy and cognac brands in this country. If you haven't tried cognac, if you haven't tried brandy, I highly suggest that you do. It's they're great stuff. They really are good. It's not to be swallowed down fast. It's to be enjoyed. It's always nice to sit around and have yourself a little brandy sniffer and smell it and, you know, have it with some really well-aged cheese or something like that if you like to have something with it. But it's good stuff. I enjoy brandy. I've had some good cognacs and good brandies over my life, and it's something that I don't purchase as often as I really should and really like to do, but that's my own fault. Save up instead of buying yourself a couple of bottles of wine. Buy a bottle of brandy. It's going to be about the same price, and you will get great enjoyments out of it. So there's our show on brandies and cognacs.
Yeah. I didn't realize it had that much alcohol content. That's,
you
said 35
high.
That's quite a bit. I looked up one on, I don't even know how to say it, but the Armagnac brandy, and you know, I was trying to see if there was any images of the bottles. They're in different shaped bottles, but the size of them, you know, I found one for 700 milliliters, and you know, I was just wondering if there was as much, you know, if they have specific sizes, like you know, you have the 750 milliliters seems to be standard for wine. Is there a standard, you know,
Yeah, that's something I found out too. You know, they come in all sorts of different sizes and all sorts of different shapes of the bottles, and it's amazing the diversity that they put them in. I mean, it's really funny that they don't use just one standard for almost all of them. It's there's a whole bunch of different types of brandy bottles and stuff, and you know, I guess it's for the price. I mean, if you start filling up a 750 bottle instead of a 700 or 650 or something like that, you pick up a bottle that's a 700 ml as opposed to 750, and the price is still up there. It's just a little bit easier to justify yourself of paying that price, you know. But let's see, I had something here. They were listing the prices of something on this one thing I was reading. Here we go. Hennessy. High-end Hennessy, a rare blend of more than 100 UDV, primarily from Grand Cru and Petite Champagne regions. The youngest brandy in its blend is 50 years old, while a small percentage is more than 200 years old. And they're packaged in a striking Baccarat decanter and retails between $1,500 and $1,800. Hennessy paired this extra features, an assemblage of Grand and Petite Champagne with a minimum of 25 years, and some of those exceed 130 years, and those retail between $400 and $500. So you can get some very, very old ones and very expensive ones, but you don't have to. I mean, those are cognacs. You don't have to. Those are very good. I've had a cognac that was, at the time, it was like $800. This was back in 79, back in 79, and it was $800. Now it was probably, almost double that, but it was phenomenal. I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. It was so smooth and so interesting with the different flavors and stuff. I mean, you can really taste the oak, but it was really nice. So, you can find them anywhere, brandies from Cavassier and stuff like that, and Remy Martin and A&J Gallo. You can find brandies, $15-$20 or cheaper, and all the way up to, $5,000-$8,000. I mean, or $5,000-$7,000. It really depends on what you're looking for and how much money you want to blow on a bottle. You can buy a lot of wine for one very expensive, but they're good. I mean, it's just like wine, though. You can get yourself a $5,000 bottle of wine, and people say, well, I can't tell the difference. Yeah, you can. You can tell the quality. It's there, and you can actually taste it. So, like I said just a few minutes ago, it's well worth picking up, even if it's a cheap brandy or an inexpensive cognac. It's worth trying it and just to see the characteristics of it and see, the different aspects of it and, what it's like. Made from grapes, so therefore, right. All about wine, it's in our category here. So
yeah, very cool. Very interesting. I got quite a bit of notes here. I was scribbling on the screen here. I'm glad I can type all this and not have to write it out, because I would be lost. I would still be on, what did you say after FYI more than anything else at the very beginning? I can type, but writing is a whole foreign thing now, it seems like. You have.
Yeah, you can do the shorthand. Shorthand?
No.
Remember shorthand?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Never tried it, but yeah. It's,
Me either, you know. But people who can write it and read it, you know, it's like a whole new language.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's courses and everything on it, or at least they were. I don't know if that's still a thing or not. I mean, if I don't know.
I mean, with all electronics now, I don't know if shorthand is even needed. I mean,
yeah,
it's one of those things that died, just like, you know, it's one of the languages of the earth that has disappeared. You know,
the manual typewriters, electric typewriters.
Yeah, all that. It's all gone now.
Well, you have a wine fest this coming Saturday, day after tomorrow, on June 25th, it looks like, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m., and I'll tell you more about that in a minute and a half, if this is the right one. No, wait, minute and 15 seconds.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@floon.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That's right. That's right. Come on out this weekend. It's going to be warm. It's going to be a good good Saturday, and you'll enjoy the music of Constantine. He'll be in there playing music for you, entertainment, and you can come out and enjoy shopping. They have there's going to be many unique and handmade items, and some you've known for a long, long time. One I thought was kind of interesting at the very top, actually, of this is Robin bringing Damsel in Defense. It's a personal protection product company for women to protect themselves and their families. I guess it would have not just apply to women. They have stun guns, pepper spray, personal alarms, door alarms, security and safety items for your auto, and much more. They also do empower hours in your home and office and offer safety classes for realtors and salespeople in their offices at no cost. So check them out. Robin will be there Saturday at Winefest. Molly will have doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils and other health supplements to support optimal wellness. So check out Molly when you're there. Let's see, Deborah's going to be on hand bringing Heavenly Honey, a tasty treat that is good, healthy for you. Let's see, Angie is going to be there with Scentsy. That's right, Scentsy. We all know that product there. Don's going to be back with Don's Wooden Things, with special handmade unique items made out of wood, scroll sawed, made fretwork, and I don't know what this other word is, intarsia? Never heard of that, intarsia? Let's see. Yeah, okay. What to ask him? Susan Marie will be there with Mama Oh Mama, an assortment of evening or everyday wraps or shawls, and a whole lot more. Also an assortment of wallets for only $5 and $10 and a whole lot more. So come on out. And, of course, food will be served, by Charlie. Susie's Dogs will be back again with more grilled hot dogs, grilled-to-order hamburger, cheeseburgers, veggie burgers, and a whole lot more. Philly cheese sandwiches, I love those. Also grilled hash browns, tater patty this weekend. Hash brown tater patty, there you go, this weekend. So come on out. Plenty to drink, not to mention fantastic wines. And you can also participate in a wine tasting over there. So go to Wine Fest this Saturday. That is June 25th, 2016, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And there is no wine class this weekend. If you're in the area and you want to stop by and add a little something to the tip jar located next to the register, this month the tip jar is for Tampa Leadership and Philanthropy. The group helps local, that's Bay Area, military families in all areas and any way needed. Okay? So stop by. It goes to a great cause. That's Tampa Leadership and Philanthropy, and it goes towards helping military families in all areas in any way needed. So check it out. What else? Let's see. Save some future dates. October 1st is the 4th annual Pasco Pet Fest. That's October 1st. And October 22nd is the 3rd annual San Ann Artisans Wine and Wine Fest. We'll give you more information in upcoming shows, so stick around for that. We'll let you know more. And you can also bring your donation of pet food for Raffle Rescue, and you'll get a 10% discount on your wine purchase. Come on out to the winery. That's right. Let's see what else. I think that's it. We have, did I miss anything? We have 8:10 Eastern time here. We will be back next Thursday.
One more thing. Mm-hmm. Let me do one more thing here. Drinking your port or your, your cognac or your brandy. Quick lesson. Pour a small amount, only about, you know, 3 or 4 ounces. Hold the glass in the palm of your hand. It's suggested for 10 minutes. Let it warm up slowly. And naturally, you do it too fast, you can evaporate some of your aromas. Look at the surface of the glass, particularly the color. The color should tell you the age. Lighter colors are younger. Older it gets, it goes yellow, amber, gold, and even red on the edge. Smell it. It should give you different aromas, usually floral or possibly fruity, but you know, violet, apricot, nut. And then swirl it in your glass and smell it again. When you sip it, sip just a little bit of it, and look for the different flavors to come out in the sip. So there you go. Just enjoy your cognac and your brandy, and let me know if you find any that you find particularly interesting, and I'll see if I can't check it out myself.
Yeah, very good. All right, that's some good stuff there. Good to add to the program. Let's see what else. Okay, we will. It's next show is June 30th. That is next Thursday, June 30th, 2016. We'll be here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to check out the website, go to allaboutwinebtr.com, and there's information on how to be a guest, things that we're looking for, and links to our past guests are on the page as well. So tune into that, and or you can check us out on Facebook. There's links to Facebook and Twitter on the website. So and iTunes. Yeah, I forgot about iTunes. So for the archive shows. we have two places for archives that I know of. So, yeah, check them out. And thanks everybody for listening. And we'll see you all next week right here on All About Wine. Have a good week.
Thank you. See you next week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida Estates Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.